All right, Philippians chapter 4, reading verses 10 through 19. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, again, we ask that you would please bless our time, Lord. Would you establish our thoughts? Would you guide us through this hour? Father, we ask that you would minister to our hearts, drawing us unto you. Father, we do thank you for all the things that you do for us and what you have done for us and what you will do. I thank you, Father, that our future is bright because our future includes you. Lord, one day we'll have no need for the sun or the moon because your glory will be the light, Lord, that shines throughout eternity. Father, we do thank you for all that you do. Thank you for the song the kids sang, Lord, daring to be a Daniel, Lord. Help us to truly dare our own selves to be like Daniel and the others that we read about in Scripture who stood firm in their convictions. They stood firm in their relationship with you, Lord. They kept pressing on, kept moving forward, not letting society, not letting the culture or anything detour them from being faithful to their faithful God. Thank you, Father, no matter if we're faced with the den of lions like Daniel was, yet we know that you're with us and you'll watch over us and protect us and your will be accomplished in our life. And we thank you, Father, that you always accomplish your will. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, your love, and your grace. Father, we ask that you would please bless our time. Lord, it's always short, but Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together. And thank you, Father, for what you will speak to our hearts about. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 that says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." But it's those that wait upon the Lord that will have their strength renewed. And this morning I want to talk to us about being strengthened by Christ. And there's three ways that Christians are strengthened. And we'll see those in a minute based on these verses at the end of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. But reminding of what the prophet Isaiah said, "But they that wait upon the Lord," those that rely upon the Lord. It's not just sitting and waiting, but those that truly rely upon the Lord, who view God as their resource for everything in their life, whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional. God is the resource for the child of God's life, and we always have to keep that mindset and remind ourselves that everything I have belongs to the Lord. He's given me so much. He's blessed me, and yet he wants me to be a part of the ministry. He wants me to be a part of helping lives be transformed by the power of Christ, and that not that I have to, but I get to be a part of what God is doing. And Paul's letter to their church at Philippi, he commends them for being a part of what God's doing because they always kept up with him. And this is why I mentioned our missionaries earlier, because the believers at Philippi, they kept up with Paul. Paul was their missionary. Paul came to their town and Paul led a Philippian jailer to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He had delivered a young woman that was possessed with a demon. That's what got them thrown into the Philippian jail because the people did not want this woman to be freed from her demonic oppression because they were using her for their wealth and their gain. And the Bible talks about that. But Paul was someone who was near and dear to their heart, and they kept up with him. And as he mentions that when he was in Macedonia, that they sent once and again, not just once, but Paul wasn't sending a letter saying, hey, I need this, need that, but they were keeping up. And, you know, they didn't have, they weren't texting, they weren't emailing, they weren't doing what we do today to keep up with people. So, I mean, they really went out of their way to keep up with where Paul was at, what Paul needed, because they wanted to be a blessing to Paul, but they also wanted to be used by God, and they did not want to lose their first love. Remember, the first love is always Jesus Christ. You and I can never go wrong following Jesus Christ and doing what the Lord wants us to do. We don't want ever to hear those words personally from the Lord Jesus, you've left your first love. We want to stay sensitive to the Spirit of God. We want our hearts to be full of the love of Christ. We want our eyes to be filled with compassion, just like His was. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And this morning I want us to see, according to these verses in Philippians, who are strengthened and how they are strengthened. Because there are three types of Christians that are strengthened through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So the first Christian that we see is strengthened is in verse number 10. I'm going to try to talk a little faster this morning just because of time's sake. I don't want to keep you past, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so we'll be out by 3, all right? But in verse number 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last year care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. The first Christian we see that are strengthened by Christ are the caring Christians. The caring Christians are strengthened by Christ because it does something spiritually to a child of God to care about somebody else and to be full of care. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. How do you prove your love for somebody? You typically do something for them, right? It's not just telling them I love you, but you typically, you give of yourself to somebody or something to show how much you love that person or maybe even that event, right? Going into the football season, a lot of people love sports and they have their favorite teams, whether it's a college team, whether it's an NFL team, and they will go all out decorating their home. They have all the outfits they wear, and those that will even hazard their life and go to the football field and sit in the stadium, especially if you're a Green Bay Packer fan and you go up to the cold tundra there in Green Bay and you sit in the winter elements without a shirt on, with green and yellow paint like some men do, and like just out of their minds to be able to do that. But they're showing their love for a team that they follow regardless if they lose or win. Our love should be more involved than those who love the things of this world, because our love is centered and should be centered around Jesus Christ. And we express our love in several ways, and one way is by caring. And these believers at Philippi cared about Paul, and he recognized their care, and the Lord Jesus would strengthen them because these were a people that were not wealthy, they were not rich, they gave out of their poverty. But they gave liberally because of the love and the care that they had for Paul, as well as their care for the gospel. In verse 10, it says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last year care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Remember, Paul was just not someone that they met in the marketplace. He was someone that specifically came to their town by the will of God and led a Philippian jailer who was going to commit suicide to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because he saw Paul had something. Silas had something he needed. His life was empty, and therefore he was going to commit suicide when he thought all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul said, "Do thyself no harm." He sprang into the prison cell and said, "What must I do to be saved? What do I have to do to have what you have?" When your life has been changed or touched by the love and compassion of somebody else, you feel almost in debt to them. You have a connection to somebody who cared enough about you that you want to express that love and you want to show the care for that person. But their care went deeper than just Paul. It went to the message that he was carrying, and that message was of Jesus Christ. They cared for the gospel being spread throughout the known world. They cared for Paul. That's why they wanted to meet his need so he could continue doing what God had called him to do, being an apostle to the Gentiles, being someone who was an example of the believer, someone who was an example of Christ. He had love for people. He cared for people. And as Paul would say, "Follow me as I follow Christ," that's exactly what these believers were doing. They were following Paul's example because Paul's example was Jesus Christ. And they were showing their care to Paul because they cared about the gospel that they had heard with their own ears, and their hearts and lives were touched. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord." Everything we do in life, we must first give ourselves to the Lord. That means, "Lord, here am I. What would you have me to do? Lord, use me how you want to use me. My life belongs to you because you paid the price. You redeemed me from bondage. You own me because you paid the precious price of your blood for my soul." But yet the Lord doesn't treat us like slaves, does he? No, he treats us like friends. He treats us as we are, his children, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. They cared for the gospel because they had given themselves to God first. Their life had been touched and transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. But notice in verse 14 as well that not only did they care for the gospel, but they communicated for the gospel. In verse 14, he says, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Now, in our day and age, when we say communicate, we're talking about, you know, we're talking about texting, emailing, talking, some type of communication. But in the Bible word communicate, it's talking about giving. They communicated with Paul's affliction. He was in need. He needed something, and they knew about it, and they communicated their love to him. How do you communicate your love to somebody? Right? I mean, I tell my wife I love her, but sometimes I communicate that love by bringing her flowers. Right, bringing her chocolate, something that she likes. You know, I try to communicate. You try to communicate. I tried to communicate my love to my grandson this morning. He kept running from me. So when he ran past, I snatched him up and held him, right, because I just want to love on him, right? And same with, you know, some of my kids. My older boys would not want me to snatch them up, you know, and do that to them because, you know, they're men, right? All of, you know, teenage years, they're men, right? But the little girls, you can still do that. The little girls, my little girls love to be loved on. I love them to love on me. But you understand the communicating, right? Communicating our love and our care. And they communicated for the gospel because they had a good testimony. Do you have a good testimony this morning with people? Do you have a good testimony with the Lord this morning? In Acts chapter 4, the Bible reminds us of a man by the name of Barnabas. And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed or nicknamed Barnabas, which means being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He was communicating his love for the gospel of Jesus Christ because the power of Christ had changed his life in so much that, you know what, he was considered the son of consolation. His name was Joseph, but the apostles, Peter and them, they said, you know what, your nickname is Barnabas because you bring such consolation into the lives of people. He even did that with Paul when the others did not want to receive Paul because Paul was wreaking havoc of the church. He was killing Christians and even was going to Damascus with letters with the authority to bring Christians back. But yet when Christ stopped him on the road to Damascus because Jesus cared more about Paul than the believers at Damascus. More than likely, the Bible doesn't say, but when there's someone against the things of God like Paul was, almost like he was a child of the devil. I mean, he is a murderer. He is killing Christians. Usually Christians pray for their demise. We pray, Lord, would you just take them out? Lord, would you remove them? But Jesus cared more about Paul that Jesus showed up on the road to Damascus in all his glory to blind Paul and bring Paul to his knees so Paul would put his faith and trust in the one he thought he was destroying but can never destroy. They had a good testimony. And their testimony was that they were filled with love. They were filled with the love of Christ because their life had been changed. Has your life been changed this morning? Have you found yourself at a place where you're doing everything right, but you wouldn't admit it unless the Lord showed you you've left your first love? You're just going through the motions, and God doesn't want us to just go through the motions. He wants our heart to be set upon the things that he loves. And he loves the lives of people. He loves to use his people to communicate his love. We have received his love, and he wants us to communicate that love to others. They were generous in their involvement as well, because Mark chapter 14 and verse number 8 tells us that there was a woman that came to Jesus. Jesus was in Simon the leper's house. He's having a meal, and a woman comes in and anoints his feet, anoints his head. She hath done what she could, Jesus says of this woman. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. She came and broke that alabaster box over the head of Jesus to signify that, you know what? She was communicating her love to the one who loved her the most. She was communicating her thankfulness for her life being changed. Is this louder now? It seems louder to me. And it's distracting to me, and I'm sure it's distracting everybody else. Thank you. I apologize. But just the fact that she was communicating her love for what Jesus had done in her life, Barnabas was communicating his love and his care for what God had done in his life. God truly does. Jesus strengthens the caring person. It does something to the soul. It does something to your heart and your soul when you have that Christ-like care for others as well as for the gospel of Jesus Christ that change lives. Look at verse 13, because I want you to see the second Christian that is strengthened in verse number 13 of Philippians chapter 4. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The believing Christian is strengthened. The believing Christian is strengthened. Strengthened in your faith, strengthened in your resolve, strengthened in your giving of yourself, your entire life. You are strengthened when you believe that the Lord is your strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And how does he do it? He does it through his provision. He provides the spirit of faith for us. In John 15:5, Jesus says, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Remind this morning, you and I can't do anything without the Lord. And yet we can think, well, I did this week and the Lord wasn't there to help me. Because many people will say, well, the Lord didn't help me do that. I did that of my own strength, my own intellectual smarts. I did it with my own money, my own hands. And yet, when we step back, sometimes we have to step back and look at things and realize, you know what? Yeah, he gave me the energy to do that. He gave me the brain waves to be able to even think of a solution. In fact, he gave me the solution. I mean, I know I'm kind of talking to the choir. You know that God is your strength. You can't do anything without the Lord. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves, you know what? Maybe I didn't really believe like I should have believed when the Lord said that he would be with me and help me. And I kind of got ahead of the cart, right, and did not let the Lord lead me. The believing Christians are strengthened because they're strengthened by his Spirit. And Jesus says again, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. God still wants every one of his children to be involved in his ministry. And his ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. Have you been reconciled this morning? Are you a child of God? Has your life been transformed? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Yes. Hopefully you do, and if you do, it's because of the ministry of reconciliation, God reconciling us unto him, and he wants us to continue being involved in his ministry. But you and I have to believe that he has given us not only the spirit of faith, but also the supply of faith. Believing Christians are strengthened by his supply of faith. It's not my faith, but his faith. In verse 19 of Philippians 4, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now just thinking about faith, but you understand, what's your need? What need do you have today? What need do you have tomorrow? You know that Christ can supply whatever need it is according to his riches in his glory. I mean, Paul needed the thorn in the flesh to be removed. You know, sometimes we do pray for things. We pray for things to be changed. We pray for things to be taken away. And it seems like they're not changed or not taken away, but God's given us something else. He didn't take the thorn in the flesh away, but he gave Paul grace. You and I need more of God's grace in our life. We need more of his strength in our life so that we can overcome the trials of life. We can overcome the difficult moments of a day. He supplies the faith that, you know what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe and I know that my Lord and Savior is right here with me and he will guide me through it because I want him to receive all the honor, glory, and praise. Sometimes we may even have arguments and say, well, I can't do that because of, what if my washer and dryer breaks down? Oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? Just reminding us this morning that we have a Lord and Savior who, when he was hanging on the cross or before he got to the cross, when he was carrying that cross up to Golgotha, the Lord didn't say, what if the people don't believe in me? Maybe I don't want to lay down my life because what if, and he starts naming people, but what if they don't? What if they don't? But what is it that caused Jesus to willingly lay down his life? His love. His love for you, his love for me, his love for every single person caused him to willingly lay down his life. When was the last time you and I willingly gave to the Lord what he wanted? Because I'll say this, it's easy to throw money in the plate. That's easy. The harder thing to do is to put yourself in the offering plate. Not because the offering plate is small. That's not what I'm talking about. Not physically putting yourself in the offering plate. But you know what I'm saying? Lord, here's my life. What do you want me to do? Because it doesn't matter your age. God still wants to use you in some way. He still wants you and me to be willing to be vessels that he can fill and use. Again, he wants to fill you with his love so that that love is poured out into other people's lives. People that are unlovable. People that you would even not even think about doing anything, right? Because we all have certain people that, well, Lord, I'll help them, but I don't know about them. We shouldn't be that way, but there's just certain things that we won't do. But we should be willing to do because we believe that Jesus will supply the need to be able to do what he asks to do. And I need faith to believe that he can even use me. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask of him? Jesus said this to those of his day that he was walking on the earth, but he also later on says, how much more will the Heavenly Father not give you of his Spirit? And we need the supply of his Spirit. We need that supply of the faith that comes through Jesus Christ and comes by the Holy Spirit. You know, one of God's Old Testament names is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. Have we forgotten that God is the all-sufficient one? Whatever the need is, he can supply it. And the wonderful thing is, he can do it without me. He can do it without me. But he chooses to use me. He chooses to use his people to influence the lives of other people. He chooses to use his people to show other people that, you know what, there is power in the name of Christ. There is power in the gospel of Christ. That God truly does love and God truly does care and wants to transform that life through his power. Look at verse 13, because again, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It is through the power of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:11 reminds us, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Strengthened with all might, his power. When was the last time you saw the power of Christ resting upon you? As Paul says, I'd rather have the power of Christ resting upon my life. When was the last time you recognized that the Lord helped you or gave you the strength to overcome or to endure something or was just there to encourage you? Hopefully you don't have to think too hard. Hopefully it's something that just comes to your mind. Oh yeah, yesterday he just was right there. Yesterday he just brought this verse to my mind. Yesterday the Lord did this. You know what? In fact, you know, as I'm thinking about yesterday, I'm being reminded of this very day that I'm in. The Lord did this morning. The Lord does do things every day, and he wants us to recognize it. He wants our life to bear out as a witness. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, through Jesus' power, he does strengthen us. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Where do you get your strength from? Now, I know we're sitting in church this morning and we can say, I get my strength from the Lord. But what are you often tempted with to get your strength? Sometimes people are tempted. I know of a woman that she was tempted to get her strength from a person. She always relied on a person until the Lord allowed that person to fail her. And then she realized, I'm relying on the wrong person. I need to be relying upon him who never fails. Him who never changes his thoughts about me. His love for me. His care for me. What I'm saying is, the Lord strengthens us. And the Lord should be our strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. Now there's a point to all of this. There's a point to the caring Christian being strengthened, the believing Christian being strengthened, and the third, the giving Christian being strengthened. Because we don't want to just have the mindset that we just kind of skate by in life. Well, I'm traveling on to heaven. And that's a good song, Traveling On. That reminds you, you know what? I can just keep traveling on because I know where I'm headed. But the Lord wants so much more for us. He wants to use us in so many more ways. In verse 15 of Philippians chapter 4, he says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel," and he's speaking of not the beginning of the days of Christ on this earth and him dying and rising again, but the beginning of the gospel when he came and preached to them. "When I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." The reason why we put the missionaries in our bulletins, and why I even kind of mentioned the missionary family this morning, is so we don't forget that there's actual people that have left the comforts of America. They've left the comforts that they loved because their love for their Savior was more, and they were willing to go somewhere else. They were willing to go to a different country. Now, God doesn't call everybody, all his children, to go off and be foreign missionaries, but we all are called to be missionaries right where we're at. What's a missionary? Someone who cares enough about somebody else to tell them of the blessed hope, to tell them of where their strength can be in Jesus Christ. The giving Christians, as Paul mentions here in verse 15, they cared enough to give not just once, but multiple times. It wasn't enough just to do it once. When was the last time you passed out a gospel tract to somebody? We had some, and I'm by no means, I am not the sole winner of the year, but I gave somebody a tract this past week. I had some work done in my house. I went out to the truck where they were at, and I gave them a tract and was just asking them some questions. I felt good about doing that. But the Holy Spirit started to speak to me, yeah, that's good. But don't let it be so far and few in between. What I'm saying is, you know, we get puffed up, okay, I did this, yes. I obeyed the Holy Spirit, I did it. Okay, we got to be looking for the next time, right? Because what is it that has our heart? We can do everything right, like the church at Ephesus, but our heart not be in it. Okay, pastor, you know, he gave us a Raise the Roof Sunday offering, you know, and he wanted us to give towards the roof and the rooms. But if our heart's not in it, if we're not doing it for the right reason, and that reason is for lives to be changed, for children and young people to be taught in these classrooms, for even babies in the nursery, because the nursery is not just a place to drop off the screaming babies or, you know, just to put them there to have a place. No, because the nursery worker will work with them as she does now just to kind of teach them different stories. Just, you know, because no child is too young to hear the gospel, right? Everybody has, there is this age of accountability, and only God knows that age, right? There's been children that get saved when they were 4 and 5, just, you know, the light bulb coming on, and just understanding and by faith trusting in Jesus Christ. But it does take giving Christians to give towards what God loves. And in verse 15, they communicated with Paul again. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." They communicated with their love and care for Paul and for the gospel. And because of the love that they have received, they communicated it by giving towards God's ministry. That word communicate just simply means to come into communion or fellowship with, to associate or share with, especially to associate with one financially. Galatians 6:6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. I mean, that verse, you read that in Galatians chapter, it just talks about, you know, communicating to, you know, the pastor of the church, someone who teaches, right? We've had missionaries come in that we didn't really take on for support, or maybe they did come through and we gave them what was called a love offering. We've had an evangelist come before. We gave a love offering, just communicating our gratitude for them coming and giving us the message that God laid upon them heart specifically for us. And Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. God considers it a sacrifice of everything that we give, as long as it's not with a grudging heart, right? We're to give without a grudging heart. That's 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful giver, communicating with your entire life and all your possessions that God has blessed you with. Lord, what would you have me to do? That was Paul's response to Jesus Christ. When he dropped to his knees on the road to Damascus and said, Lord, who art thou? Because he couldn't see him because of the brightness of his glory, but he heard his voice, and he said, Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Do you realize when you read in the book of Acts, that encounter that Paul had with Jesus, Paul did not start confessing all the things he did wrong? He didn't pull out the laundry list and, Lord, forgive me for this, forgive me for that. He just said, Lord, what would you have me to do? That was putting his faith in Jesus Christ, because he was persecuting Jesus Christ. He's the one that consented to the death of Stephen. He's the one that was wrecking havoc in the church. He was trying to destroy the name of Christ. But yet, when the power of Christ was revealed in his life, he just basically, Lord, I belong to you. What would you have me do? I'm yours now. And that's what the Lord wants. Because if our hearts are truly given to the Lord, everything else will follow. Everything we do in life will follow in line with what he wants and his will. He wants our hearts. He wants our entire life. Faith is not, as someone once said, a pill to take. It is a muscle you use. And faith, it's the more we exercise our faith in giving, in surrendering our life, and just allowing the Lord to use us, it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. The more that I am a caring Christian, I'll become a stronger caring Christian. The more that I'm a believing Christian, believing what God wants to do in my life, believing what God is doing, I'll become a stronger believing Christian, and the more that I give willingly to the Lord whatever he asks of me, I'll become stronger at giving. It will no longer be a struggle. And believe me, in my years, it's been a struggle for me. In my early years, it was a struggle. I didn't make a lot of money. I had kids to feed. I had a wife to take care of. And when the bills were all said and done and paid for, we'd have $5 left over. And that's not what God wanted. I had a check written out one time for the tithe, for what my tithe would be, and sat in the pew and let the offering plate go by and didn't give it because, no, I got to pay this bill. If I don't pay this bill, I mean, having good arguments with myself, because the Bible says, you know, to have a good witness with those without. So I want to be a good witness to, you know, the people I owe money to, and didn't give it. And after the service, several miles down the road, speed trap, pulled over. Don't you like it when they ask you, you know why I pulled you over? I have no idea why you pulled me over. I was just obeying everything. No, it's you always like, yeah, I know. license registration. Come back. Here's your license and registration, and here's your ticket. And my wife can attest to it. Looked at the dollar amount, and the dollar amount was the amount of my tithe. And God was teaching me a lesson. Give to me first. I'll take care of the rest. Because I've also found myself where it just seems like my pockets have holes in them. The money never stays. Or you just see the money just flying away to everything, right? What I want us to understand and just really think about this morning is that Christ really does want to strengthen every area of our life. He wants our faith to be stronger so that we're more willing to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? So he's glorified. And our love continues to grow for him. We don't become like the Ephesian, the church at Ephesus, where they were doing everything, but they had lost their first love. It wasn't about Christ anymore. God wants our hearts to stay sensitive to him. He wants us to continue communicating with what he's given us, the life that's been changed, everything that he's blessed us with. He wants us to use it for his glory and for his good to help others, whoever they may be, whoever he directs us to. But he wants our hearts to stay sensitive to what his heart is sensitive to, and that's lives. Being a part of his ministry, and that's ministering to the lives of other people, seeing other people, lives changed, marriages helped, singles just grounded in the Word of God and in the relationship with Christ. And it all starts